This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Friday. Great to be with you on the show today. Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. NILGameChangers.org. Start your journey today. Athlete, business, they'll take care of it all. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Todd, welcome back.
Hello. Everything went well yesterday, I hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They point me toward the microphone. I talk. What's the difference? But, yes, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA today officially are Big Ten members. They're in today. Big welcome. I was telling the story yesterday about Puddles, the duck. Right? And I'll quickly retell it. Of course, you go to Indianapolis, you know, and you and I weren't there. But we all saw the picture of the gigantic duck floating in the river, right? Well, Nebraska has its media day. Penn State's is tomorrow. Nebraska has its football media day. And the actual mascot for Oregon showed up at the press conference in Lincoln. And then acted like he wanted to ask questions. They finally ended up throwing him out. I mean, these people in marketing at Oregon, they get it. They are fun. Now, they may not be an efficient group because they still haven't put out their basketball roster yet, which they haven't. As you know, I work ahead. They haven't put out their bad. Let's just see. This as of 2 days ago, they hadn't. Michigan also hadn't either. Oregon basketball roster. Nope, still 20. Nope. Still 23, 24. Yep. Yeah.
Does that mean you might see the duck in the sheets tomorrow morning before media day out in State College?
It's a possibility. A Rutter's or a sheets, something.
Is there a man-sized duck in there? Did you see they debuted the map commercial this morning? The new map commercial with the new schools?
I did not see it, no.
It's obviously 15 to 20 seconds longer because, you know, they have to do the West Coast and move the camera to Nebraska then.
Oh, okay. Is the Rose Bowl's not in it anymore, right?
No. Actually, it's the Hollywood sign. I only watched it once. I don't have it. It starts at the Space Needle and moves down the coast. Okay. And then spins around and goes across the country again like it used to.
Okay. Let's see. Big Ten commercial. I'll at least watch it. Yeah. Big Ten commercial. Okay. Let's see. Updated maps commercial. I always liked the map commercial. I always thought it was kind of cool.
I always liked it, too. I didn't realize we were not the only ones. That was quite popular. The people were a little upset when they thought that it wasn't coming back with the new schools.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Okay, let's play here. So, yeah, you're right. Starts at the Space Needle, and it goes down to Oregon. So they got Husky Stadium in the Space Needle, Autzen Stadium, now down the coast to UCLA. Okay, the Rose Bowl's in it because that's where they play.
Yeah.
Okay? City of L.A. And the Santa Monica Pier. The Coliseum's in it. Then we jump over the Rocky Mountains and get to Nebraska. There's stadiums in it. Then we go to Iowa next, where there's a lot of corn. Minneapolis, tall buildings. Wisconsin. They've got Camp Randall's in there. Northwestern, of course, is Chicago, so the Willis Tower's there. We jump down to Illinois. A lot of corn, very flat. Purdue, there's a train. Indiana, I got to go back here. Indiana kind of like, okay, yeah. You know, all the limestone stuff, right? Now we're going to jump up to Michigan. So Michigan State, Sparty shows up with the and all the trees have turned colors there. Then we go to Michigan. Up, there's the stadium. Then we jump to Ohio State, and there's the stadium with OHIO. We go to Penn State with the Nittany Lions statue, right? And, wait a minute. Whoa. Let's see here. Got that Beaver Stadium. Yeah, they got Beaver Stadium in the corner. Yeah, Beaver Stadium's there. Then they go to Maryland, so they got the Washington Monument in the Capitol there. And then they go to Rutgers, where there's a Ferris wheel and tall buildings. Yeah.
There's not a little Connor Stallions in the Michigan one?
Let me look back here. Oh, there he is. Oh, yeah.
I guess technically he should be in the Ohio State one looking over at the Michigan one, right?
Well, no, he's not in the Michigan Stadium. He's actually in the Ohio State Stadium right there in the end zone, and he has binoculars. And it's 30 seconds, so it goes fast.
Did you see that their Netflix has him talking about it at the end of the month?
I know. Come on. First of all, he is not going to admit to anything, so let's just pretend that.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, that's not going to happen. Okay, that's not going to happen. So Oregon still hasn't announced their basketball roster. Michigan will be announced at a later date. That's been the message on there for 3 months now. Now, we do know they have Sam Walters, and we know they have Roddy Gale, and we know that they have Vlad Golden and people like that. I know all that. But come on. It's not that complicated. Just, okay? It's not that complicated.
I was going to say, they're practicing just like Penn State is. They should know who on their roster the roster
maybe,
by now.
Maybe Dusty's not sure. I don't know. No. I mean, it's but they don't have it. Now, tomorrow's football media day here. So let's get at least a couple things out of the way about football media day. James will meet with the media. The first question he's going to get will be about Kavion Keys and Jamel Lyons. Okay. And that question should be asked and needs to be asked. Okay? So I got that. Got it. Okay? But he's not going to be able to say anything about it. He's just not. There's nothing he can add to it at this point. Right? Because it's out of his hands. And so there's nothing yet. I mean, that's the way it's going to start tomorrow. Then after that, you get into the team. When you go through something like this, and I have no idea what the situation is, so I don't even, and people will say, well, you're there. I always love when people say, you're there. Why don't you just ask? Part of being there is that you don't ask.
I mean, with the new NCAA rules, there's a percentage chance that James might not know what they did yet, isn't there?
Possible. I don't know.
Well, I mean, because the way the discipline is, they've kind of taken it away from the athletic programs, haven't they?
Well, you can discipline people yourself.
Well, yeah.
And the school can discipline. I just don't know what the issue or issues happen to be. So that part I don't know.
Well, I meant more along the lines of like the Terrence, not that it's the same situation, but like the Terrence Shannon stuff was kind of out of Underwood's hands. It was, you know, it was the school itself that was doing the discipline, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the conference did not discipline him. The school disciplined him. And then he took the school to court. So when he took the school to court, they ruled he was allowed to play. Now, it was Brad Underwood's choice at that point as to whether to play him or not.
Yeah.
And he's in one of those, you know, innocent until proven guilty situation. And it turned out in the end, Terrence Shannon was found not guilty. So, I mean, let's be fair. In the end, he was found not guilty. So I don't know. I don't know. In that situation, you know, Shannon played because of a court order. Shannon finished out the season, played well, first team all conference, played well in the NCAA tournament, first round draft pick, and then ended up being found not guilty. So, there he is. And as for this situation, you know, I have no idea whether it was James that decided on this, whether the school decided on this, whether the athletic department decided on this. I don't know any of that. None. Now, he might be able to shed light on that part of it. But so when you do this job and you're at practice, and there'll be a segment of the audience that listens, and they'll say, yeah, I understand that. There'll be a segment saying, no, I'd ask. Well, you know, it's fine. I can tell you what the result would be. You can ask about it. Right? I mean privately. I'm not talking about in a public setting like a press conference. Yeah. But, you know, that's something that they have to volunteer to you. You can't. That's not how it works. You have to be smart about that part. And we'll just take it a step at a time. My job now is to look out at what they do have. You know, a long time ago, Penn State had an assistant football coach by the name of J.T. White. Tough, hard-nosed, good guy. Really liked. I personally like JT a lot. And Joe told me that they were talking about recruiting one day, and JT put up this map, and he put a protractor up, and let's get as many guys as we can within, you know, this diameter of campus. And, of course, back then, the number of Division I, high-level Division I talent in Pennsylvania and New Jersey was so high. And then they were talking about prospects, and Joe told me that he told the staff at that time, he says, look, once we get people in here, don't worry about who we don't have. Only worry about who we do have. And that's the approach you have to take when doing this. Okay. Those two guys aren't there. All right. What do they have? They have Denai Dennis Sutton. They have Abdul Carter. They have Smith Vilbert. They have Amin Vanover. Then let's see how Joseph Empoy does. Let's see how Harvey does. You know, some of the younger players as a guy. Because somebody they don't have at the moment is Zariah Fisher either. If Zariah is there, this makes this easier to absorb in terms of like personnel as to who you have. But you may have to look at a couple of the young guys and see how they do as to see who might be a fifth defensive end for you. The next part is, okay, let's go to linebacker. Sometimes Tom plays three, sometimes he plays two. On the guys of playing two, Kobe King and Tony Rojas would be the first two guys you think of And then the next grouping is would be Tyler Elston and Dominic DeLuca. Well, now we get to three, and that's where Keys would have fit in. Well, Tamir Robinson's still there. He can fit in there. And do one of the younger players, like a Specker or somebody like that, step in and be a guy in a depth situation for you that gives you six linebackers, with the swing guy being Abdul Carter. So you concentrate on what you do have when you're out there. Right? You don't sit there and go, okay, what am I going to do without him? No. What do you have? And you know, just like on the offensive line, what do you have? You have Dawkins. You have Wormley. You have Ioane. You have Rucci. You have Donko. You have Shelton. You have Javon Williams. You know, you have Cooper Cousins. You've got guys like that. You've got J.B. Nelson. The other day, I gave you that big rundown. I left out J.B. Nelson accidentally. People think, oh, what happened to him? Nothing happened to him. It's just after naming 50 to 60 names, I missed 61. All right. And it's what you do have. Wide receiver. People talk about wide receiver. Okay, Liam Clifford and Trey Wallace and Julian Fleming and Amari Evans and Caden Saunders and Ivy and Johnson and maybe one of the kids like Tyser Denmark or Josiah Brown or, you know, okay? You concentrate on what you do have and how to make it work. And that's what everybody's trying to do right now. That's what everybody's trying to do right now. Okay. Suit's all excited about the Olympics. They're doing 3-on-3 basketball today. I've been able to tolerate that for about 60 seconds. I'm like, yeah, really?
Our women's 3-on-3 team is good. The men's team is...
Now, the men's soccer team lost to Morocco today. Yeah. But they got to the quarterfinals, so I think that's like a step. Like the women, you have gold expectations. The men, you're just hoping to get to the knockout round. Okay, it did all right. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, great to be with you on the show today. Media day is tomorrow. Now, look, the players aren't going to comment on this. There's nothing they can say. You just have to lock in on camp and get your own job done. And they are not going today, by the way. They went yesterday, and they went on Wednesday. Today's an off day. Remember, they're in class this week. So next week, let's see, they're going to go tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And because of the Purdy tournament, just kidding, they're off Wednesday. Kidding about that. Just the way it worked out.
People are going to think we'll have special guests. That's not what it means.
Nope. Not in the least.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, roasting their peanuts fresh and not every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Even the suit says 3-on-3 basketball is about the only sport I have not watched. It's stupid. It's like watching a playground. Well, I feel better now about our analysis of it.
I actually was, before I left Philadelphia this morning, trampolining was on the TV.
Trampoline?
Yeah, we were not, none of us were aware that that was an Olympic sport.
I believe that, believe it or not, in the gymnastics world, I believe that's one of the original Olympic sports.
Well, it's nuts. The girl was 15 feet in the air.
Well, it is the Olympics, so you would think that the best of the trampoline world is there.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So.
I guess if breakdancing is a sport, jumping on a trampoline can be a sport.
The breakdancing thing is, come on. That part I don't get.
Got to get
all.
The Utes.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything here that's anything of use here today? I know golf. I know that Hideki Matsuyama was leading Olympic golf. He had one hole to play. Let's see. Olympics. Richardson debut. Nice. Hideki back. Nice. French judo icon Reiner wins third Olympic gold. All right. Let's see. Anything else here? Alcaraz cruises into men's tennis final. Alcaraz is a great player. Morocco beat the U.S. 4-0. Men's soccer. Ooh. Wow. We have a three-way tie for the lead at the end of round two. How about that? Hideki Matsuyama is tied with Tommy Fleetwood, who shot a 64 today, and defending Olympic gold medalist Xander Schauffele. All three are at 11 under par. Rahm is two shots back at 9. Thomas Dietrich at 8. C.T. Pan's at 8. Tom Kim is at 8. Scottie Scheffler's 5 shots back at 6. Rory McIlroy is 6 shots back at 5. Colin Morikawa is at 4 under par. Let's see. Anybody else of note here? It's a field that has, because, like, the U.S. has, because of world rankings, has 4 players in it. Most have 2 and 3. So there's going to be a lot of names on here you look at and go, really? 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 So, who's that? What is he doing? Where is he from? Let's see. Simone Biles won the gold medal last night in the all-around. Struggled on the balance beam, but then, to her credit, was outstanding on floor exercise and won. Is Steve Kerr creating problems with Team USA lineups? They're blowing everybody out. What problem is being created here? Am I missing something?
Oh, you saw Tatum didn't play on Saturday, I think it was.
Yeah, and then he started.
And then Embiid didn't play the other day, and I think it's just trying to get... What else do you write about when they're winning every game by 30 points?
Right. I mean, it's, you know... And according to him, according to Kerr and to the teammates, they've all said the same thing about Tatum. Like, when he did not play in game one, they said he couldn't have been more professional about it. Okay, well, if you've got that kind of attitude on your team, you're good. He started him the next time through and went from there. And the bench group's the one that played the best of the... of the groups that he put out there was the bench group. Suni Lee, by the way, got the bronze last night, considering the U.S. dominance in bronze. But when an American wins it...
She pulled one out. She was... Yeah. As you can see, I was watching it last night. She was really struggling up until that four exercise and had a great one to get it up into third.
Yeah. So... Yeah. And... I always find it interesting, you know, I mean, look, it's great that they hand out medals, first, second, third, the whole thing, you know, gold, silver, bronze. But when you do win you don't win the bronze, okay? There's no such thing. You don't win the silver. You get the silver. You get the bronze. You win gold, okay? Remember, when you get the silver, you finish second. When you get the bronze, you finish third. You don't win it. She wins bronze. Wrong. You get bronze. There's one winner, the person who touched the wall first. This is how we love. That's what I love about the Olympics. They won the... No, they did. Oh, no, no, no. You don't win the bronze. The only time you win the bronze is in a team sport. And there's a third place game. So you did win the bronze. But everything else, you get the bronze, you finish third. Now, it's great in the world that you're third best. That's awesome. And so, you know, be proud of your bronze medal. But you don't win it. You get it. Is it semantics? Not really. I think it's a fact. You don't win bronze, right? There's one winner. That one got gold. One.
Honestly, I think it's a function of our jobs. That, you know, words have meanings, and that's not what win means.
Right, I know.
You know, and I think people, I think most people listening would probably think you're being semantic, but I bet I've heard 100 journalists say that over my career, something along those lines. Oh. Just because, you know, words have meanings, and you may be excited, you may have done a lot of work, but you did not win the bronze.
No, you don't. For example, if the Philadelphia Eagles qualify for the playoffs and finish third in the NFC East, okay, they're a wild card team. They aren't called a champion. They're not the winner.
I don't know. Eagles fans might call them winners.
I don't know. There's well, that's a bitter group.
That's true.
Okay. You got to admit, they do get upset. Team USA, by the way, 41 total medals. But of the 41 total medals, 32 of them are silver and bronze. 17 silver, 15 bronze. China leads in goals with 13. France, the U.S., and Great Britain have 9 each. Now, these numbers may change dramatically based on what happens on the track.
As of last night, no individual male, U.S. male, has won gold yet, which is the longest. They said it was the longest that we've gone in an Olympics without an individual male gold medal. Yeah, that will probably change in the track as well.
Yeah, Noah Lyles has a real shot at it. I mean, you know, we'll see. But, okay, silver medals, U.S. number one. Good at finishing second, 17. France, 11. Great Britain, 8. Bronze, great at finishing third, 15. Team USA. France has 11. And Great Britain has 8. So there you go. Let's see here. Austria has 1 bronze. Slovakia, Egypt, they have 1 bronze. Portugal has 1 bronze. Fiji has a silver. Really? Mongolia has a silver. Tunisia has a silver. Then Argentina, Slovenia, Serbia, Ecuador, all ended up with gold medals. Moldova, 2 bronze. All right. See, I'm feeling good here. Let's see. Yeah. Canada's got 10. But, yeah, you're right. No American male has won a medal or earned a medal.
I think Caleb Dressel goes to this evening. I think he's our best swimming shot. Swimming shot, yeah, to win.
You've been zooming around the suit so long. Streaming. Streaming. No American males won a gold medal yet. Wow. Doesn't Steven Nedorosic go tonight in the individual pommel horse?
Actually, I think it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I think they said on TV last night that gymnastics is off today, okay, and then all the apparatus start tomorrow.
Okay. Former Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker is suing the university and school leaders, alleging that they wrongfully fired him last year and violated his constitutional rights after he was accused of sexual harassment. He said that it was an improper sham investigation. The complaint contends that interim president Teresa Woodruff, athletic director Alan Holler, made false and defamatory public statements against Tucker, further destroying the plaintiff's reputation, his professional standing, and his livelihood. In addition, the lawsuit contends that the school leaders manipulated the process to create a pretextual and false basis to terminate plaintiff's employment. Tucker's the plaintiff. By improperly weaponizing the university's investigative procedures against the plaintiff, Tucker, the defendants have caused and continue to cause him to experience severe emotional harm and suffering, and cause hundreds of millions in damages. He was in the third year of a $95 million 10-year contract. He was due to earn $80 million on the deal remaining. Emily Gerken, a university spokesperson, on an email said, quote, "The university does not have a comment at this time." Thank you.
Well, at least she didn't waste the energy dialing to tell him that.
Right, exactly. Tucker's lawsuit contends the school officials deprived him of his right to a confidential and fair investigative process, and that they cared nothing about the damage being inflicted on him after Tracy's allegations were made public by USA Today. Instead, the defendants were alarmed that the USA Today articles once again made Michigan State University's history of failing to properly deal with sexual abuse allegations the subject of national media attention. They suspended him in September. They fired him. All right. A resolution officer concluded in October that Tucker engaged in behavior that violated the school's relationship violence and sexual misconduct and Title IX policy by sexually harassing and sexually exploiting Tracy. It should be pointed out these are all allegations. In January, the school denied Tucker's appeal of these findings. An attorney hired by the school as an equity review officer said Tucker had failed to prove error or bias. Oh, boy. That's going to be... He is fighting this all the way. And I expected him to fight it all the way. Charging fans in the guise of NIL, three of the most tradition-rich college football programs, are capitalizing on the passion of their programs. Nebraska, Ohio State, Alabama will be opening one or more of their preseason practices to the public and charging admission. Alabama will let fans in for free to an open practice, but those who want to get player autographs afterwards have to pay money for the autographs. Temple University President, Associate Professor Thilo Kunkel, who researches NIL's impact on college sports, said opening practice for a price is a creative way to add to the NIL pool if the school can pull it off. Nebraska's charging $25 per fan, any age, for their open practice at 6 o'clock on Saturday. They estimate that 3,000 fans will show up. Well, okay. So was that $75,000?
Now, my question is, if you have to pay for the autographs, don't they have to, because of the NIL rules, don't they have to give the kids some of that money?
Well, this is going to is the collective.
Well, I know it's going to the collective, but you're also making money for the collective off the backs of the kids.
Yeah, but this is a donation to the collective, which will then go to the kids.
All right.
Right? So, I mean, it's just, you know, they may split it up evenly or whatever, but... Ohio State is charging $50 to attend one of four open practices, with the last one Sunday. Fans also get a pair of commemorative 2024 Ohio State training camp sunglasses and access to a fan fest. They're going to cap attendance at 750 per practice, which means in the end, Ohio State could get $150,000 for their NIL efforts if each practice is sold out. Ohio State sold out two open practices last year. Tickets last year were $300, and they capped attendance at $500. Alabama's going to let them come in on August 11th, which is, what is that? That's a Sunday, right? For Fan Day, they get in for free, but they have to pay for the autographs. And you have to join the Yay Alabama Collective to get them. Membership starts at $18 a month. Okay.
If they could sell it out for so much, why are they putting a cap on it? Or such a small cap?
Because they're doing it at the practice field.
Oh, it's at the practice. All right.
Yeah, they're not doing it in the stadium. Like Penn State's going to have an open practice. I've got the date of it here somewhere. It's on my practice sheets. But it's done at the practice field. That's why they're capping it at five. The Ohio State's capping it at 500. Nebraska's capping it at 750. That's because it's being done in the practice field. They just set up bleachers and you watch practice. And then you hope somebody like me walks by and they can say, who's 24? Okay, that's Corey Smith. All right, so we're the diehards. Who is that guy? I have no idea. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
U.S. Looking to win in men's basketball to be the number one seed. They should be able to do it. Pretty confident in that.
They only won by one the first time. It's South Sudan again, isn't it?
I think it's Puerto Rico. Ah. They beat South Sudan.
Okay.
They beat South Sudan by 13 or something like that.
I must be a game behind yet.
Oh, that's impossible to do in this thing.
Well, that's true.
Every time you turn around, let's go over to judo. Okay, all right, now where are we now? let's go to the triathlon. All right, great. And they're all diving in the water, and like only half of them come out. It's like the water's a little dirty. Oh, man. Nobody ever bids for these things anymore. You notice that? They don't bid for it anymore. There's no secondary bid. Like, this was Paris, L.A. Hey, let's choose which one takes which year. Okay, Paris took 24, L.A. got 28. Salt Lake City got it without any opposition. Brisbane got it with no opposition. People aren't bidding for it. Hey, it is... In a lot of ways, it is a financial problem. And let's take Salt Lake City in 2034. They have some of the venues already. But, Todd, it's 2024. How expensive are new venues that still would need to be built or revised? How expensive is that going to be 8-9 years from now?
Probably at least double than it is now.
Right, exactly. And that's the part that they can't project in this. That's why they lose their shirts.